Our next public hearing is conditional use number 2366, Impact Life Incorporated.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For a group home for more than 10 people to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Seaford 100, Sussex County, containing 17.26 acres more or less. The property is lying on the north side of Boyce Road, which is Sussex County Route 547, approximately 0.15 mile east of Neal School Road, which is Sussex County Route 553. The 911 address is 4973 Boyce Road, Seaford, and the tax parcel ID is District 531, Map 9, Parcel 7.03. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's property survey, a copy of the DLDOT service level evaluation response, a copy of a legal description for the property, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. I would note that we have received one letter in support from the Delaware Housing Authority and one letter in opposition. Thank you.
All right, we thank you.
Hi.
Hello, and you are?
I am Dominica Persanti. I am the founder and CEO for Impact Life.
Okay.
So thank you so much for having us here. We appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of the program. So I am an individual in long-term recovery. I have been serving in some form of capacity in the state of Delaware for about 25 years. I was born and raised here. I've been here my whole life. We started Impact Life during COVID as a response to individuals who were sick and suffering from addiction and not being able to access treatment. When the hospitals were overrun by COVID, we had individuals that were overdosing or needing treatment, and they couldn't get beds in the hospital because the hospitals were overrun. So we sat and triaged people in parking lots just to get them into care. And when CARES money became available, we said maybe we should do this. We didn't know how long the pandemic was going to run. So we started that. We started with two staff 2 years ago, and now we're at about 26 staff. Like I said, I started working in the field in 1998, was a peer before they were really a thing, and have been serving in that capacity since. The farm that we purchased, it's on 17 acres. It's a beautiful property. We were approved. So we started with 10 beds. That was what it originally was approved for. And when we wrote the HUD grant to buy the property, that was originally what we planned on doing. We added a handicapped accessible bedroom and did some renovations, which then gave us more room. And we said, well, if we can serve more than 10 women, our program here is for women and their children. So if we can serve more women who have their kids, can we do that safely by adding three beds? Walked the property, determined we could do that. We have a compliance director who's been working in residential treatment for about 20 years and decided we could safely add three beds. And that was when we reached out and spoke to Jamie and kind of asked what we needed to do, which landed us here today. So we're confident in our ability to be able to safely run the program by adding those three beds. So that's our ask today, is to go from 10 to three beds. We currently provide services to adolescents and adults statewide. We have a harm reduction program, so we go out and do outreach in the community, all types of outreach. Yesterday we did 100 warm meals in the community, but we also do things like safe sex kits. We talk to people about safe use. We do navigation, healthcare navigation, workforce development, things like that. We have a program that where we have staff to go into the schools, so we do prevention harm reduction work there as well. We're in multiple schools up in Newcastle County. That program started about 6 months ago. We're working our way into Kent and Sussex. It's a little more difficult to get into the schools down here, we're finding, so we're working on that. And then we also do, we run housing programs. We already have houses that we operate. We operate houses in partnership with Attack Addiction as well as our own. So we currently have 52 beds. We operate beds in Seaford. We recently acquired a program called Square One that a lot of people in Sussex are familiar with. So we run a Mommy and Me house and a men's house there. And then we have a house in Milford that we operate in partnership with Attack Addiction. Then we have houses upstate as well in Newcastle County. The farm would add, hopefully 13 beds, but definitely 10. And then we have a property that we are operating in partnership with Attack Addiction in Harbison that you'll hear about in a little bit. So in total, we have a good amount of beds throughout the state. We're also in partnership with another organization right now to acquire their beds. They have 86 beds. So my background comes from running facilities that are a lot larger, so about 140 to 180 bed facilities. And so, you know, this program at the 13 size is a little bit smaller than what I'm used to, and again, fully confident to be able to do that. I was actually invited to speak at the White House in 2016 on residential treatment programs and evidence-based practices and how to run them safely and effectively. So I did that then, and everything that we implemented at that time actually became a white paper, and it's everything that we implement in the programs that we operate now. I'm also a licensed clinician, so the program itself is licensed by the Division of Substance Abuse and Mental Health. We're also governed by an organization called NAR. It's the National Alliance of Recovery Residences. So they have certain parameters that we have to follow in order to be credentialed by them as well. So we're familiar with those standards, in full compliance with them, as well as compliance with the state of Delaware to run a licensed residential facility. You know, part of the reason that we started the farm and wanted to operate the farm. So I entered into treatment when I was 14 years old in the state of Delaware. And when I got sober, my grandparents lived in Galena, Maryland, Cecil County. And they had some acreage in a neighbor that had a farm, and I got enrolled in 4-H. And it was one of the things that really contributed to my sobriety for a really long time. And so I also had a child at 18, right? So one of the things that was helpful to me was a program called Byard House in Wilmington, where they teach moms who are not ready to be moms how to do everything that you need to know to be a mom. Some of those things were the most life-changing events that took place for me. I'm a domestic violence survivor as well. And, you know, for me, a lot of my life was in that chaos. So to be able to take a place like this on 17 acres in Seaford and provide a safe environment where we can teach moms how to learn to do the things that they need to do and build their self-esteem and do that through compassion and connection and kinship. Our hope is that then they don't feel the need to go back out and use, right? And that we're reducing the rates of relapse, thereby reducing the rates of overdose, because I know I don't need to tell you all the stats, right, of the rates of overdose in our state. And how they continue, especially now in 2023, our rates have increased significantly every month. And Sussex County is being hit extra hard this year in particular. So our goal is to create a long-term program. It's a 9 to 12 month program where the women can come and they can have their children with them, because that's a huge barrier for people to go to treatment, and that we can teach them how to do things differently so they stay sober in the long term. So the program is staffed 24/7. There will not be a time where we don't have staff on site. We have security systems through security instruments that set up so the house is armed. There's cameras, internal and external. We have our closest staff member 7 minutes from the property. She's also our farm educator. So she lives 7 minutes away. We have other staff that are within 10 and 15 minutes. So in the event that anything went wrong, we would have somebody able to get there very quickly. The program that we run, like I said, all based on evidence of programs that have worked elsewhere. This will add 15 full-time jobs to individuals. We're hiring people that reside in Sussex County to operate at the farm, and then we have the benefit of leadership team. Like I said, we have 26 staff altogether, so we have a large leadership team that oversees the program statewide altogether. The biggest thing I think is important for people to understand is that they're coming to us sober. When we started this, which was about 11 months ago, that was the biggest question we got. Like, is this going to be a detox? Is it going to be a rehab? And it's neither of those things. Yes. Yeah.
And speaking of the important things, the important thing for this hearing is what's going to be happening at that specific property. So I appreciate the overview.
Sure.
And all that, but I would really like you to speak specifically to this property. And while we're stopped, I want to get a clarification here, because you mentioned that you were operating under an existing permit. Did I hear you say something about a permit or existing approval? I mean, Mr. Wyatt, can you just kind of bring us up to date?
So a dwelling may have a fixed number of people living in it as a dwelling, but anything for more than 10 people, even if they're sharing single kitchen facilities, and once you go over that 10 threshold, whether state operated or not, it requires a conditional use.
So the facility's been operated with 10 or less up to this point, so there's no violation of any kind, or was it a violation?
No violation. Right. Applicant came to us, and we just said based on the number, we're going to bring you through the conditional use process.
I just wanted to make sure that everyone understood that this wasn't a violation situation. This is where someone is coming to us and asking for permission before they actually do it.
Correct.
It doesn't always happen that way.
Yes, we're not operational at all yet. We're actually waiting to get through this process.
It appears to be vacant. So,
correct.
So it's my, I'm here, I'm kind of getting mixed signals.
Do you have people there now?
We do not. We're waiting on fire marshal approval for our sprinkler system, which we are crossed fingers will happen next Thursday. We hope.
So it's my understanding that she's conducted business in other counties.
Okay.
She's coming to Sussex for the first time.
Okay. We actually currently operate in Sussex County, just not at the farm.
Well, that's what I'm trying to determine.
Yes.
Is there any activity at the farm now?
We have staff hired, but we do not have any residents living at the farm.
There.
Nobody's there. No. No clients.
And is it, under our code, could there be 10 people there without any action on our part?
Up to 10 with disabilities, with state approval, is potentially being... You can do that as a dwelling with one kitchen.
Okay. Up to 10. I'm just trying to understand what the...
We changed the definition of dwelling a while back to encompass that situation.
And that's why I just want to make sure I understand what we're doing.
So they're trying to simply increase that number to 13?
Yeah. The application is all about being able to have more than 10, and that's why they need something from us.
That's 13 grown-ups?
So that's a great question. So we are going to operate with 13 women to start, period, and provide services to the kids through case management and things like that in the community or wherever the kids reside, whether that's with DFS. But our plan is to operate with 13 women solely until we are comfortable. And that could be a year from now, 2 years from now. Like, we know we would have to go back through this process if then we were going to add children. And we're aware of that. But for us... Yeah.
Any other questions?
We're tag teaming this thing, and we're getting it clear.
No, we're doing good. Well, normally the way this works is you would do your presentation, then we'll ask questions. It kind of sounds like you're probably done with your presentation part. Is there anything else we need to tell us, or can we start asking questions?
The only other thing I just want to stress is that it is not a detox or a rehab. They're coming to us sober. That was a really big concern for some community members and other people. I didn't know if you may have the same question, but that was it.
No, that's great. Good.
So
I'm not trying to limit you. I'm just trying to make sure we get the information that we need. Okay.
Yep. That's all.
So is the goal then that they have jobs?
So ideally what happens is they come to us and we give them about 60 days to get sober, where we're really focused on their treatment, working on trauma, things like that. And then, yes, so we have a workforce development program as well. Our goal would be to create a sustainable program there at the farm, like through whether...
Time out. You just said... They come to us sober.
Well, yes. You have to differentiate
these. Now you're giving them 60 days to get sober.
No. I'm sorry. 60 days to get employment or a job. They come to us sober and they have to stay sober to stay with us.
The term detox. Like, yes. Let's say that I have a problem and I relapse.
Yes.
Well, then the detox period is a 72 hour or 1 week where I go somewhere and I complete the detox. But then there is another time period of sobriety until I'm, hopefully clear. Is that kind of how the sequence works?
So detox depends on what substance you're detoxing from. Typically it can be anywhere from 5 days to 14 days. So when I say we're not operating as a detox, there's no medical component. We don't have the means. We don't operate that way. So they would have to come to us from a higher level of care. So they would be, normally it's detox and then residential, which is about 21 days. So then you have a 30-day stay, and then they would come to us.
Okay.
Right, I get it now.
So just meaning, once they get to us, we would give them about 60 days to get stable, get in the house, get settled, before we would require them to then get to us.
Your 60 days is more about getting stabilized and getting back to living and functioning.
Routine, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I get it now. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else?
So do they participate in the economics of it? And you know, like I know there are other groups, you know, that do similar, and the goal is to, in essence, rent the person the room, and provide accountability and all that. Are you kind of like more of an earlier stage of
so
the process?
We actually got a federal grant to operate a animal-assisted therapeutic program at the farm, as well as agricultural-assisted. So we're partnered with University of Delaware. So they're working with us to create like a sustainable farm model so that we can teach the women how to do everything that comes along with running a fully operational farm, as well as the animal-assisted therapy part.
So is the goal to get them help them conduct, do their sobriety for 6 to 9 months, and then they move on to an occupation or you know, life, and then you bring new folks in? Is that
yeah, right? So the goal would be that while they're with us, they're learning all the tools to hopefully stay sober, and also learning workforce development things while they're with us. Now, you know, our goal right now is to have them kind of in-house doing that with us, like I said, for 60 days or so before they actually go out and, you know, get jobs. But where we're located, the employment piece is going to be extremely difficult for them as far as transportation or getting to where they are. So we're trying to do as much of it in-house as we possibly can. So teaching them the skills, doing all of that, and then hopefully helping them find jobs when they're ready to move out, like you just mentioned. And we don't charge anything. Our program, like I said, we have a federal grant that, so none of them will, they won't pay to like reside with us or anything.
So how do the children fit in then? I mean, you were saying in your presentation that the goal is to I thought I heard you say that the goal is to be able to have a provide where children can be with their moms.
So our goal in the beginning is to be there and operate with 13 women and work out all the kinks. So there's a pond on this property, and before we ever have kids that reside there, we would have a whole plan for safety around the pond because it goes to 10 feet deep in the middle. So right now, starting out, our goal is that the moms have their kids for visitation, and that's it. Most of the moms that come into treatment for us are either DFS involved or family members have the kids. So our goal is reunification and building that family unit back. And then either the mom gets their children back once they graduate the program, or, you know, we work with them if DFS is willing to give their kids back at 6 months or 8 months, or a lot of times it'll be contingent on them completing our program, then we would work with them to ensure that that happened. Eventually, we do want to be able to have kids in the program, but again, that's just not where we are right now. It's just, we're not ready for that.
So how do you handle the relapse?
So right now in our current programs, what happens is a few different things can happen. If we identify it, meaning we have these programs are staffed 24/7. Our current houses, we have case managers and house managers. It's not 24/7. They're lower levels of NAR housing. So we have a house manager that lives in the house that's like a senior resident. So if someone were to come home and let's say they smelled like alcohol, they would do a breathalyzer, and then they would call whoever the case manager is for that house. So we have, you know, different case managers that manage the houses. And then what we do is we offer them a referral to treatment, and we work with them until we get them into a treatment program, meaning a inpatient treatment program. And then they have to follow the recommendations of the treatment program in order to return to us.
So do you? How often do you drug test?
We do random drug testing once a week. And then sometimes more than that, if it's warranted or if we have somebody who's chronic relapse, at risk for chronic relapse.
And what's your, and how many people are you facilitating now in your, how many locations do you have now?
Seven.
Seven?
Seven with 52 residents.
Okay, so you are currently managing about 52
yes.
residents. And typically, they come in and 6 to 9 months they're rolling out?
So our current houses, like I said, they're lower level housing. So I would say that it depends on the house. We have one house up in Newcastle County that we hardly have any turnover. The guys come, they stay, they've been there forever. There's hardly ever availability. We sit at about 95% occupancy at any given time, and our houses sit pretty full. I would say our women's houses probably have a little more turnover than our men's houses, just from a trend. Anecdotally, I mean, I could give you actual data if you wanted that. I could provide that to all of you. But right now, I mean, for the most part, our average length of stay is anywhere between like 6 to 9 months, but we also have people that have been with us for 18 months and longer. It just kind of depends. And I think that the houses each kind of have their own culture, and I think that makes a difference too.
So what is your rate? What's your success ratio of folks? I mean, it's hard. Listen, I know it's hard. So I'm not sitting up here trying to be critical.
No.
I'm just really interested.
Yeah.
I appreciate the service and contribution that people like you
sure.
are making to help folks, but
sure. So the data is difficult for a few reasons. There's a system that we all enter into in Delaware. It's called an egress system. And the way they track the data is very difficult to get from. We're actually working with multiple organizations right now to set our own data systems up. And it would depend on length of time. I mean, so if you asked me to give you 18-month data on individuals, it depends. The ones who stay in touch with us, I can give you that data on. But we also have individuals that leave, complete the program, and we don't hear from them. So we like to believe they're out doing well and doing great things in the world. But our touch points, usually we reach out a few months after they leave and see how they're doing. But there is no like requirement for them, so it's difficult to give you that data.
So what's the recourse when they first of all, I feel that it can be more successful if the testing is regular and maybe even 100%, like everybody's going to get tested every week. But anyway, when they do test,
that is what we do.
You do pretty much test.
It's random, but it's everybody every week. So by random, I just mean they don't know when they're getting the test.
Oh, but sometime during the week, that person's going to be tested.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's all tracked and staff.
Much better.
Yeah.
Because if we just wait till we smell alcohol and
something. No. Everybody gets tested once a week. They just don't know when it is.
Okay.
That's what I meant by random. I apologize. Yeah.
So, the neighbors.
Yes.
The neighbors would probably like to know what kind of what the ratio is of neighbors having problems.
Of our current neighbors.
Yeah, I mean, just in other words, you know, has it ever happened
yep.
where somebody walked over to the neighbor's house and took the bicycle or something?
So I can speak to you for the past 18 months in partnership with Attack Addiction. We've been running those houses, and we've had to call police twice. Both times it was for with incidents for residents in the house getting into verbal altercations, and one saying, I feel threatened, and so I'm going to call 911. So twice. And that was
so
both in Wilmington.
Is your residents being threatened by the neighbors?
No, this was two of our residents in-house.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, just two. Two of our residents
okay.
in the house, and both in Wilmington, so nothing in.
But as far as you know, the neighbors of your houses.
We've not ever had an issue. We've not ever had a resident do anything to harm a neighbor, or we haven't had arguments. We actually, to be honest, so our guys in Wilmington mow the neighbor's lawn and they appreciate them. Our neighbors in Shawtown cook for the women. I mean, we just don't. So we also don't tolerate a lot of nonsense. So if they're with us, we have a very structured program. They have to go to meetings five days a week. They have to have a sponsor. They have to be in a support group. They have to go to groups with us. They have to see a case manager. And everyone's not ready for that. And that's okay. They're just not for us, because we want to run a structured program. So we don't have a lot of that, because once people start to kind of, we then refer them to programs elsewhere.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
A lot of the questions I had, but you mentioned NARDS. So do they have any jurisdiction over your facility? Like, would they come in randomly to do spot checks to make sure you're doing what you need to be doing and making it the safest place possible?
So DSAM does. So Division of Substance Abuse and Mental Health have the ability to come into our program at any point once we have a license with them. And normally it's annual, but they can come in unannounced. In fact, their visits are unannounced. And you know you're going to get one annually. That's all you know, once you're licensed. So we're pending licensure right now on the sprinkler system. Once we tell them, hey, we're good to go and we're moving residents in, they'll be in the first 90 days. And then it's a year out after that. And like I said, every year. NAR, you go through a process and they credential you, and then they have the ability to come in and spot check at any point as well.
Okay.
There's no set time on that, but they have the ability to do that.
All right, so kind of on the same lines, do you have a curfew where you do lockdown, everybody has to be in by a certain time, and then...
Yeah, so right now, our residents up here, it depends, but our curfew down at the farm, we believe we said was going to be 8 o'clock, just because it's very dark down there. There's not a lot of lights on that road. And God forbid, like, we don't want anyone walking. And that's not, our goal is that they stay in the house, they stay on the property. And again, there's not a lot of transportation. There's really nothing there for them to do, so.
Okay. You aren't going to do the stats, but I'm going to read something that I read yesterday to share with everybody. Delaware has the highest rate of opioid death per capita in the country, and Sussex County is the worst of the three counties. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Mayor?
No questions, sir.
No questions? Okay. Staff?
Done for me, thank you.
All right.
Done for me, thank you.
Okay. All right, if you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2366, Impact Life Incorporated? In favor. Okay, come on up.
Hi, good afternoon or good evening.
It's all good, still afternoon, but it's getting close.
My name is Lauren Stewart. I'm the controller of Impact Life and also TAC Addiction. Again, we're very close organizations. Because so much of our work is aligned with our mission and our values. The impact and attack are different from a lot of other programs, and I understand too, as someone, if there was a program coming to my neighborhood, I'd have questions, and I appreciate that we have neighbors that care about their communities, being that that's the kind of community we want our clients to be part of, right? People that care about one another, care about safety. Impact and attack are different from other programs that are out there because they are structured. People come to us. In fact, I was visiting our Mommy and Me house today, and they love our programs because they're structured, but they're able to be involved in the programs. They have a say. So what we're teaching them is to be self-sustainable, right? That's our goal, to help these people put their lives back together. And Domenica, she created this to address the gaps, right? There's a lot of factors that come into this. The shame, once you're clean and you realize the people that you've hurt, the people that you have let down, your children, your parents, right? I'm sure everyone in this room either knows someone or knows someone that loves someone that is struggling with addiction, because it's so prevalent. It's very sad. It's affecting even the kids that we're meeting in high school, middle schools. But anyway, so the residents, what they told me today, and I like to just pop in, because though I'm behind a desk a lot, I really like, why I joined these organizations was to be of service, right? I worked in healthcare for a really long time. My twin sister was a heroin addict. She's now a nurse manager that cares for women who have high-risk pregnancies and their children. Thank God for second chances. Thank God for organizations like this. And if you ever have children or siblings or parents even, like we're meeting some kids that do have now, you're going to want these organizations out there to help that loved one. So we're different. We are a structured program. We're teaching people how to be self-sustainable. We're trying to take, the addicts are out there. We're trying to turn them around into productive citizens, right? So I understand some of the concerns. We're certainly happy to answer any questions. But yeah, people want to be here. They're coming to us voluntarily to get their lives back together. If at any point they decide they're not ready for that, we help them to the level of care that they need. We're not forcing people to stay. We're not even asking them. We have wait lists. We can't, but there's not enough houses right now to get the people in. And if you talk to anyone that loves someone that's an addict, that's what you'll hear. There's not enough services. We don't wish that we had this problem. We don't wish that there was a demand, but our goal is to help control it and stop people from dying. Hopefully someone will come up here with the stats like you shared in Sussex County. The amount of people dying in Sussex County is heartbreaking. So thank you for this opportunity. We hope we're able to provide more of the service that's so desperately needed here in Sussex County. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Leslie Palladino. I'm the Director of Outreach with Impact Life. I've also known the Keisters for many, many years since attack addiction kind of came into fruition. Out of respect for everybody's time, I'm going to keep it really short and sweet. It's kind of a duplicate role. So I obviously am an employee, but I'm also a person in long-term recovery. I got sober 11 years ago this May. God willing that I make it to that. But without programs like ours, I would not be here in front of you. The programs that I went through weren't nearly as dedicated as what we've created. And I just hope you guys take that into consideration. I also want to say that I know that there is a lot of pushback from the community. We also understand what those concerns are. We're also trying to really put that in a different approach. That's really all I have. I just wanted to say that because I don't think we always put a face to it, right? We read the numbers, we read the stats. I find it very hard to believe that at this rate, there is not one person in this room that has not directly been affected by this disease. So,
okay,
thank you.
All right, who's next? In favor.
Good afternoon. My name is Bradley Owens. I'm the Executive Director of Impact Life. And I'm actually born and raised here in Lewis, Delaware. I went to Cape and Lopin High School, and sadly and tragically, I lost my sister to alcohol in 2009. So drugs and alcohol is important to me, and I aspire to go to school and to work in a professional setting to do something about that. I've worked in corrections. I've worked in behavioral health. I went to law school. I have a law degree. I've been offered plenty of jobs to make a lot more money in law, and yet I choose public service and social service. And I take my reputation extremely seriously. And just about two months ago, I've only been with Impact Life for about 8 or 9 weeks now, I made a decision to join Impact Life because of their team and the work that they do. I also want to highlight that Impact Life and Attack Addiction are supported by the Housing Authority. They're supported by DSAM. They're supported by Lieutenant Governor and the Behavioral Health Commission. This organization is supported tremendously by organizations that run this state. And I felt inclined enough to leave my job and join this team because of the reputation that they have and the work that they do. And I felt it would be remiss not for me not to come up here and say to you that I trust their organization. I take my reputation and their reputation seriously, our reputation, and obviously there's a need here and we're trying to meet that need, and I have full faith that we will do so better than any organization out there. So thank you again for listening to us, and
all right, sir. Thank you. Okay, who's next?
Good afternoon. My name is Stephen Fromm. There's one piece of recovery that I would like to speak about that has not been discussed yet.
Well, we'd like to hear the one thing that hasn't been discussed.
It has to do with that sitting behind me with beautiful children.
Okay, sir, I'm going to have to ask you to direct your comments.
I will.
To us.
I will. Okay. So, those beautiful children and the parents. So, I personally am sober 37 years. I have 5 children. I have 10 grandchildren. There was a time when I did not have those 5 children. The only way I know that I was able to get them back so they could trust their father was to go through a process of recovery. And I did that. And I have and it was sustainable, and I was able to start piece by piece, little by little, to have my unit, to have my family start to come together. And now I have 10 grandchildren from that. This is what recovery has given me. You know, we all stand up here and we talk, and you guys, when addiction seems to be running rampant through this country and through the world,
right?
I love to focus on the positive, not the negative, right? I am a miracle. Every person that goes through addiction recovery is a miracle because of the devastation of what happens to us and the damage that we cause, not just ourselves, but those loved ones I just talked about. So that's the beauty of recovery. And all these people that work in the industry, right, will tell you exactly what I am telling you. Why? Because that's the way we live. It's about living. It's not about dying. That's what the focus is here. Okay, it's all about living and not about dying.
I appreciate that.
Tough words? I can't help but say it. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Focus of this meeting is this particular application in this piece of property.
Okay.
I appreciate everything you're saying, but I'm going to ask you to wrap it up in 30 seconds. Okay?
I just did. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you so much. All right. And we really do appreciate the stories and all that. This is a rather narrow focus here for this hearing. Okay. We're really talking about what's happening with this particular land use issue. This is really what this is about. Is there anyone who would like to speak in support with something that we perhaps haven't heard before in regard to this particular land use issue that's in front of us? Anyone else? All right, is there anyone who would like to speak in opposition? All right, sir, come on up, sir. Give us your name, you may have the floor.
Guys, do your charger.
My name's Dale Short. I live at 5043 Boyce Road. Adjacent to the property is being discussed.
Okay.
I came here tonight hoping to get some information, and I got a lot of questions.
Okay, go ahead. Let's see if we can get you some answers.
Well, one of the questions is, you know, how many people are going to be living in the house?
There are going to be 13 beds.
Is that 13 forever, or until they want to come back and change it up?
Well, if we approve them for 13, that's all about all they can have, and they'll have to come back and ask again.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to say is I'm not in favor of it because there's too many if, ands, or buts going around about, you know, answers and everything. I understand what they're trying to do. It makes sense, but as being a landowner, where we're at and everything, and what the farm's been used for in the past, I'd rather see it stayed the way it is.
Right. Okay.
So thank you for your time.
Yes indeed. Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak in opposition? Okay. Operator, is there anyone standing by electronically who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to conditional use number 2366 Impact Life Incorporated? Mulford, go ahead.
Hi. We as a community just have a lot of questions as far as safety goes. I know that people can relapse. I do have a brother-in-law who has relapsed before. I just want to know when is enough enough? I mean, when is enough people enough for our community? Nobody has really taken our feelings into consideration about this coming around our quiet country area. We have bought houses out here to be quiet. This is going to increase the foot traffic and traffic in general, whether it be negative or positive. Another concern that we also have is the fact that I don't know if you guys know how long it takes state police to get out here when we do have to call. It is very frustrating that state police take forever to come out here for any kind of issue that we may have. Also, they don't have the police available to equip in town alone, let alone come out here. Another issue that we all have is the fact that there was a civilian house that was on another street right over from Real School and Boys, and during that time there was a lot of crime going on, and my house especially was affected by that crime. And it is just very concerning that we will no longer feel safe for our children to be playing outside this across the street. Adding more beds is adding more traffic. It's like they said, it's transportation is hard, so who is going to be coming out in our community and coming to these houses? There's a lot of talk on social media about needing grants and needing funding. As far as I have seen this week, nobody has been out here to let the goats out that are already in the barn. The person that is in charge of doing that lives all the way in Lewis, and the first time we have seen those barn doors open was today, and it was only the top in order to let fresh air in and out. So, I mean, their storyline has changed multiple times on social media and conversations with us, and it's just all very confusing. And, I mean, we're all having to beef up our security, which is also unfair to us for having to pay more and more because of this coming in. Our property values are going to go down, which is something that we are concerned about. It's a very scary thing when you have children in the community, especially children that are living directly in front of that house. And I understand that this community or that program is going to be helping women and children. I'm not against that as a whole. I'm against it, more people coming into the community that we have no idea where they're coming from. We have heard that these people will be coming from jail. I'm not sure how true that is, but I've been told from all over the place, as far as the PA in New Jersey, bringing people into our town, that we have no idea of who these people are or what they are capable of. We don't know who's in this background as far as domestic abuse and such. Like if one of their old boyfriends or who, what have you, they find them and bring that trouble to our community. So there's just a lot of questions that we have, and the fact that they are talking about adding more and more and more people is just concerning as far as the constant overturn rate of the amount of people that will be in our community, you know, affecting our daily life and such. I'm sorry, I'm nervous. So.
It's okay. It's all right. Well, we appreciate your concerns. All right, thank you very much. Operator, is there anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
We have another caller waiting. Caller, the line is unmuted. We have the floor. Also, please state your name for himself.
Yes, my name is Derek Calloway. I'm also a resident out here. I have numerous questions and concerns. First thing is that they really cared about the community and everyone that was out here, they would have invited us all to the forum to speak to us and to address the concerns and answer the questions we may have. But it did not happen. The second thing I have is they were 2 for 10, now they're going up to 13. They want to bring the kids in, if it's only one kid, that's about 26. They have 2 kids, that puts it up to 39. And we can see where this thing's going and where it's going to end here. There's no end in sight. Currently, they have to come to the site sooner. So there's no guarantee that it won't change this opening up. At what point would it? You know, there's no guarantee for that. But is there anything preventing it from ever becoming such? So I don't see that in place either. I have concerns about the security measures. What security measures would be in place for residents? Be it for its actions or coming to the facility to do harm to them, or residents leaving the facility to do harm or miss whatever to the community and the other neighbors around here. Has there been any addresses to insurance for any damage caused by residents to anything in the community here? How would you be there for this? How would any public counsel for that? So those are my big concerns. And also, there's children in the neighborhood there. And also, I don't know if it's still active or not, but there's just one thing that we have to go there that there's two doors down from the facility. So there's so much going on here that I think this is just the family living in the tent. There's so much more. Like I said, the story was saying now, 13, then it will be, so if you bring the kids, then you might go for the next $20 or 40. But where does this end? Where does it stop? We just keep coming back and getting to the level, keep coming back and keep waiting and raising issues with the county council. I mean, this is, like Chelsea just said, we bought our houses here, we bring our families. This is not what we have in mind when we bought here. The land was not zoned for that. And it should not have been changed. So we made, great decisions, and we didn't get grants from the federal government to buy our houses and our land to have it diminished. That is stuff that we worked hard for, or was handed down to family, and now this is what we're facing. So I am completely against this. There are so many unanswered questions, and no guarantees for anything for the community. Like I said, there's nothing to be provided about insurance, safety, security, any of it. Where's the one that got 15 acres of land? How many more buildings are they going to be allowed to build to put more facilities in there? So, let's go ahead and build another building and we'll make this one that will bring in people that are under current addiction and try to get them clean and sober. This is completely responsible and I ask that you shoot this down.
All right, sir. Thank you. Operator, is there anyone else who would like to speak?
We have another caller on the line. Caller on the line, please state your name and your high school.
Hi, my name is Diego Calloway. I'm also a community member. I have been on the school roll for all of our teachers of my 47 years. It's always been a quiet community. I have all the same issues and concerns as everyone else that has already spoken, so I'm not going to go over those again. But I want to say that when people have seen and spoken with the minimum, people would say that one thing was going to happen in the moment of the school, they were only going to
and the community. And that's very
large problem, and you already lost the trust for 22 minutes open. What does that say? It says a lot to me. And that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Operators, or anybody else who would like to speak? I'm sorry, ma'am. One trip, no ma'am. No ma'am. One trip to a customer. That was made clear in the rules in the beginning of the hearing, so I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yep. One trip to a customer. Okay. Operators, anybody else standing by? Okay. All right, then. Commissioners, any further questions, comments?
Thank you.
Okay. There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Okay. Our next